It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 17 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're looking at number 61 today, but before we talk about that just for a second, lots of basketball going on. We converted fully from football to basketball, and a lot of basketball going on. Looking forward to talking about that and all the teams in the area that we have to talk about. But Tony, number 61.
Got a bunch of big uglies.
Yeah.
Curly Culp, defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Real good. I think when I was looking at his stats, I think he was a four-time Pro Bowler. Joel Hilgenberg was the center for the New Orleans Saints. His brother Jay was a center for the Chicago Bears. Talented family there. And then Mike Babb, an all-pro center for the Cleveland Browns back in the 80s. Yeah. So, you know, three pretty good linemen there.
Yep.
And we finally get a Razorback on the board.
Yeah.
Somebody might have heard of him, Jerry Jones.
Yeah,
was number 61.
Yeah, he sure was.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, well,
the Jerry Jones.
The Jerry Jones.
The only one.
Wow. Yeah, he's the only one.
Yeah.
But I thought Tony gave us a Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was Jimmy Johnson. I was thinking it was Barry Switzer, but I think it was Jimmy Johnson.
I
think Jimmy Johnson done it, and then now everybody does it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I usually sneak up behind Robert Perez and do it.
Yeah. Win or lose it. Yeah. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, Greg, I forgot to tell you. My significant other told me that we are a Cowboys family.
Yeah, you
She's a big Cowboys fan. We are not allowed to celebrate any other team. So I have joined Greg.
She decided that on Thanksgiving, watching the ball game.
She has a Cowboys blanket. So that's where that comes from.
I will say, if the Chiefs would have been winning, y'all would be a Chiefs
fan.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. My wife had a real problem with that game.
Yeah?
Because she's a Cowboys fan, but she also is on the wagon.
Oh, yeah.
With the Chiefs.
How can you not be?
Yeah, and so whenever one of them did good, she was cheering for them.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Yeah.
But hey, it all worked out, and we'll probably talk some more about that later.
Definitely.
But now let's start talking about high school basketball. And it's time to talk about the Leopards and Lady Leopards. They went to Horatio, and then they played Centerpoint. And did well there, Tony.
Yeah.
Both the boys and girls played really well.
Yeah.
And that was the week before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Then Thanksgiving week, they went up to Cutter Morning Star, played Cutter Morning Star on Monday, went back on Tuesday and played Clinton. Girls, talking about them first, had a really good week up there, beat Cutter Morning Star handily.
Yeah.
Which... You know, we talk, you know, when we scheduled that game, they had a couple of players that were going to make them one of the best teams in their classification.
Mm.
And Tuttle may weigh in on that a little bit, but I think.
Well, I mean, one of them transferred.
Uh-huh.
And I believe one of them's been kicked off the team.
Yeah.
So.
So they're gone anyway, and it really affected their team. then the girls played the Clinton Lady Yellow Jackets, who we played and beat in the state tournament last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And still a great team.
Yeah.
And ended up, we needed everything we got.
Yeah. Because
they hit a three-pointer with the buzzer going off from about 40 feet to make it a one-point game.
Wow.
And we won by 1 point. So,
wow.
But one of the things about the Lady Leopards as we've watched them play so far is that they have not shot the ball really well.
No, and you know the thing is they lose the opener to Robinson, and they've won every game since, but they still haven't played their best basketball.
No, but against Clinton they shot the ball really well, and I think they stepped up. I think that's going to give them some confidence moving forward because they got a tough schedule.
Yeah,
I mean you look, you know, and we'll go back and talk about the Leopards in just a minute, but we're looking forward. They've got the Alma team tonight, which their only loss was also to Robinson, which they, you know. But they only lost by half of what we lost by.
Right.
We lost by 14?
Now, I think like they lost by eight.
Yeah.
So relatively, consistent there. Should be a really good game. Then we go over to Oklahoma to play Broken Bow and Wright City in a Savage Classic, both really excellent basketball teams.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in the past.
Yeah.
So we'll have to be ready to play for that. Now, going back to the Leopards for a second, when you look at Horatio and Center Point, those were dominating victories for the Leopards. They played really, really well in those two games. They go over to play Cutter Morningstar on Monday, score 15 points in the first half, and then come back and lose by one. Mm. Have the last second shot to win the game, get it to Luke Dawson out on the corner, and he just couldn't get the ball to go in the hole. But had an opportunity to win.
Was that the game Jake Martin?
Yes.
Was fouled trying to tip the ball in, and they called it on the floor instead of a shooting.
Yeah, that's what that was right there. That's when they got the ball with 1.7 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, and he was shooting. Yeah, but anyway, played well the second half of that game. Then Clinton has a really good boys basketball team. They got a ninth grader that's about 6'5" and can bring the ball up the court, and he can do it all.
Mm. I think he was running the ball for Mansfield, wasn't he?
Yeah. and then they've got other teams. They've got other players, too. I mean, not just him. They got a lot of players that can play. And Leopards, again, did not score the ball well in the first half. I think they had 18 in that first half and just were so far behind they couldn't catch up in those games. But, they've got same teams that we're playing in the girls, Alma this week, tonight, as we record this, which is Monday. And then they have the Broken Bow Classic.
Well, and just a note is on the schedule, that Broken Bow Classic is scheduled for Friday and Saturday. They've moved it to Thursday and Saturday because the Savages are in the football playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. So, and looking at, we're going to have to see what we got to do as far as our radio broadcast, too.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably be on 105.3, maybe both times. Anyway, but we'll let you know that. Just listen to KDQN, and you'll find that out. We do have an interview with Coach Brett Burgess, and we'll hear from him now.
Okay, I'm here with Coach Brett Burgess of the Lady Leopards from the Queen, and Coach, defending 4A state champs, but lost a lot of key components from that state championship team, and got to get some people doing some different things and playing in different places they're not used to. And just like to listen to you for a minute, tell us how it's going so far this year and kind of what you're thinking about the season at this point.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. When you start different, every year is different. So it's kind of like playing chess. You got to put the pieces the right way to be able to make it work. And there's a lot of experimenting, especially early in the season. You're putting people and seeing what they can do in different situations. And then also it's getting the kids comfortable in some of those situations where they haven't had to do those things in the past, as far as defensively, offensively. And I know it's a little strange, but I actually love that kind of stuff. It's part of the job I enjoy is trying to figure out what works, what is going to make us the best possible team that we can be.
And I feel that's what coaching is, right?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, it's a small part of it, but it is a very important part for sure. There's so many different things that goes into coaching that's way beyond stats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that for sure. Well, Coach, you only lost one game so far this season. That was the opening game of the year against Robinson. And started off really well in that game and then, kind of went cold in the third quarter, and that was the difference in the game. But since then, played pretty well.
Yeah, we went through different spells of playing pretty good basketball, and on the other end of the spectrum, not as good. So far, I mean, just some of the things that we were doing early in the year is just going through those spurts of not taking care of the basketball, letting down for a couple possessions defensively, not blocking out, just the small details. And those small details matter more than a lot of people realize. And getting the kids to do those small things is huge. And that's something that we have to emphasize from game to game, to make sure and remember. And I have to find creative ways at times to make sure we get that done. But the last game we played our best overall game. And far as just taking care of the basketball, shooting the basketball, we have some kids that can shoot the basketball really well. And some people haven't seen it this year, just for the fact that we have not consistently shot it. We did the last game, but as far as we've been winning on our defense, getting after it, creating turnovers, and doing those things. And because our offense, you're obviously, you know, it's going to come and go in cycles. We can't rely on that all the time. You got to be able to step up on the defensive end and create turnovers that way.
Yeah, well, I know the last game you played was against Clinton. They were a state tournament team last year also, and I think that there's that's one of the things I was going to mention too. You really got an ambitious preseason schedule before you get into conference.
Well, there's you got to play good quality opponents, and even some of some of the smaller schools that we have played, they are contenders in their classification. You look all the way down there, I feel like Taylor's going to be a top five team in Class A by the end of the year. Cutter Morning Star come into the year, they went to semifinals. When I scheduled it, they went to semifinals of state last year and had the state runner-up on the rope, had a chance to beat them when I scheduled that, but they end up losing two starters. So that made it a little bit more challenging for them. Alma's a really solid team is who we play, and then we're going back to the Broken Bow Classic, who obviously Broken Bow is very, very good. Then we go into Falk, Akron, and Powen, and Lafayette, and every one of those teams are going to be a top five in their classification, I think. So that's just a lot of quality teams. And then we're going to go to the Battle of the Border over at Texas High over the Christmas break, and we'll match up with teams from different states that should be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, all that's doing is getting you ready for the conference season. I know that's what your intention is, and man, what a conference we got this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like our conference is going to, just like last year, is one of the best ones in the state, if in 4A, if not the best. That Clinton conference is going to be pretty tough in itself. I feel like Clinton's a state tournament team. And also in that same exact conference is Robinson, who we faced the first game of the year, who's also, I feel like, a state tournament team. Now, as far as our conference, Nashville's picked to win it, and they have a lot returning, and with good reason. They have a lot of talent. So obviously they are going to be picked to win not only our conference, but our state. And also you have Arkadelphia, who's solid, who's just as good. And you have, then you have Camden, who has four starters back, and then Magnolia, who has all five starters back.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be a really tough conference, but man, just really looking forward to seeing how the girls perform this year, you know, after winning state last year. You know, I think that there's a, you know, they've got something to prove, and I think that they're going about it the right way, and you're going about it the right way, getting them ready to go, and you know, everything's not going to be perfect as you do that, but I think by the end of the year, they're going to be a really good basketball team.
Well, and that's the objective. We're going to take some bumps and bruises along the way. I really thought with some of the stuff we did last year, I thought we'd take some bumps and bruises, but we took some, but we were able to come out on top on a majority of the games last year. And I think this year I scheduled a little bit same exact way with some pretty decent competition, and we may take some bumps along the way. But like you said, I mean, the objective is being able to play well at the end of the year. At this point right now, you want to win every ball game, but the truth of the matter is what it matters is right there at the end, how you're playing at the end of the year and how you finish up.
Yeah. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today, and look forward to seeing how the Lady Leopards progress as the season goes on.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
thanks to Coach Burgess for taking the time to talk to us. But we got one more thing we want to talk about before we get off Leopards. Rotary Cup awarded this week, and two very deserving young men are going to share that award this week. I mean, this is only the fourth time in the 90-year history of that award that it's been shared.
Yeah.
But no two kids more deserving than these two.
There's just no way this was like the atom you can't divide. I mean, it's just these kids, they've been inseparable pretty much coming up through Cub and Leopard sports and football. And both exceptional young men and both very deserving.
Yeah, and you want to tell them who they are?
Yeah,
you want to know?
I want to know.
Okay. Well, Jake Martin is these are in no particular order, by the way, other than alphabetical by last name. But Jake Martin played quarterback for the Leopards this year, played middle linebacker the 2 years before that, was exceptional at both, and is just a great young man. And then Kyle Williamson, Mr. TFL, has led the Leopard defense for 3 years, and another exceptional young man, both from great families and both very deserving.
Yeah, and one of the things you just mentioned real quickly about both these guys, they both switched positions this year for the betterment of the team.
Right.
You know, and readily did so.
Yeah, they sure did.
Congratulations to both Jake and Kyle on this great honor.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than 7 decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth. There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning and ad hoc courses, 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see Pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having Pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com.
It's time to talk about the Horatio Lions and Lady Lions. The Horatio Lady Lions lost to the Queen and beat Genoa. And the Horatio Lions lost to both the Queen and Genoa over the break. Tony, we went and saw that Horatio to Queen game, and the girls' game for a while was very competitive.
For a half.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, in the third quarter, we just the Queen really got hot. Horatio never recovered. Matter of fact, it got out to near a sportsmanship rule, or maybe it got to the sportsmanship rule, and Lions scored a lot of points in the fourth quarter, Lady Lions, but you know, they're going to win some ball games this year.
Yeah. Yeah, so many points that Coach Burgess had to put the starters back in for a little bit of time. But yeah, they're going to win a lot of ball games. I think they will. And then, you know, Haley Lyon did a great job.
Yes.
In both games. And but when you look at the Lions, you know, the Lions are really young, and they've got, you know, they got some work to do.
Yeah,
but I mean, they play hard. They don't give up. They never quit. And Coach Bryce Merrick, his first year down there, and he's got a lot of young players. And at least when I talked to him over the holidays a little bit, and one of his players got hurt. I don't know how that came out, because I never did get to check with him. You may know about that, Tony.
No.
And but if that happened, he may be starting five sophomores.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really young, but you know, just look for. I mean, and the thing about those kind of teams, you know, you look for improvement. And I know he said that from DeQueen to Genoa, there was a lot of improvement, and I think he's going to see a lot of that. And as he goes through the year, so looking forward to seeing how that goes. And Tony got a chance to talk to him, and so we'll listen to that interview at this point in time.
I'm with Bryce Merrick, the new coach of the Horatio Lions. And Bryce, you and I've got to know each other a little bit, but you're new to a lot of people. Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what your kind of philosophy on basketball is.
I coached as an assistant for 3 years at Waldron. And this is obviously my first year that I've taken the head job at Horatio. I've tried to take a lot of the things that I learned, both as a player and an assistant coach down here with me to Horatio. And it affects a lot of the ways that I coach, a lot of the ways that I teach, X's and O's. Had some great mentors along the way. And so we just, our biggest things this year have just been playing hard and competing, and those controllable variables that a lot of coaches talk about, attitude and effort being the biggest two. Those are two things you can control. We can't always control how big we're going to be or how athletic we're going to be compared to the teams that we play against, or even how talented we're going to be compared to the teams that we play against. But we want to come out and have a good attitude, and have that attitude that we're going to come out and compete and play hard no matter who we step on the floor with.
Yeah, and got to watch your Lions play once. They play very hard, but your team is very young.
We are. I'm rolling out on senior high, starting four sophomores and a junior right now. And behind that on the bench is not much different. I've only got one senior on the team this year, and I don't think he's played since he was a ninth grader. And I've got two or three juniors, and I've got about seven or eight sophomores. So we're young this year, and but I think that's going to bode well for us in the long run.
Well, and thinking about staying with the boys, you've got a good junior high squad that's off to a good start. So there is something behind the varsity.
Yes, sir. Our junior high guys is pretty ninth grade heavy, actually. So veterans, if you can call them that. And in junior high, I've got seven ninth graders, and those are kind of the top seven that have kind of set themselves apart as the guys who get the major minutes on the floor. I've got a good group of eighth graders and seventh graders that come in well behind them and do a good job every day pushing them to get better. And it's paid off so far. We're 2-1. And we're looking forward to continue on with those guys.
Now, being the boys head coach, you also sit on the bench with the girls. Horatio has a great tradition in girls basketball, and this team will continue that tradition this year.
Yes, sir. That team's going to be pretty solid. Coach Alexander, I think this is his second year here at Horatio. He was at Cassatot River before that, but he does a great job with the girls. We're pretty junior heavy on the girls' side in senior high. We've got five juniors, and we've only got one senior, and we've got several sophomores. So we'll pretty much have everybody back next year, except for the one. And then we'll bring up a pretty solid group of ninth graders there as well.
How does the junior Lady Lions look?
They're looking okay. We kind of our girl that makes us go in junior high in the championship game of our tournament, dislocated her one of her fingers and was out. Well, actually came back and played the next game, which probably wasn't a good idea, and hurt it worse. And so she was out the last couple of games that we've played. But Coach Alexander told me that she had got in touch with him yesterday and said that the doctors told her she was good to go when we go play tonight. So hopefully that'll benefit us.
And what does the rest of your week look like?
Well, we go to Falk tonight. It's going to be a four-game night, junior highs and senior highs. We'll take tomorrow off, and then we will host Mena for seventh grade and junior high on Thursday, and then we open up conference play at Cutter Morningstar on Friday, and that's going to be the senior high and junior boys.
Well, Coach Merrick, like I said, you and I've got to talk before, got to know each other. I think the Lions made a great hire when they hired you, and anything worthwhile takes time, and I know you got them pointed in the right direction, and I just really appreciate taking the time to speak to us.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it, Tony. That's the message I try to preach to them every day is, anything good in life, you have to work very hard for it. And so we're coming in, and that's the one thing I can say about them, Tony, that I'm proud of them for, is they come in and they work hard every day.
Well, man, you take care.
You too.
Time to talk about the Foreman Gators. The Foreman Gators, they're 1-0. They beat umpire over the Thanksgiving break. They've got a game Friday versus Caddo. And Lady Gators are 0-3 at this point in time. They lost to umpire, and then they lost to Nevada County over the break. Nevada County, a close game, though, lost 48-41. Katie Dotson had 11 points in that game. And they also have a couple of games this week. Tuesday, they're playing Trinity Christian, and then Friday, they're playing Caddo. So looking forward to more games. The Gators just now getting started playing after football, and the Lady Gators haven't had a few games, but they got two games this week, and we look forward to seeing what they do this week.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Constitat's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Constitat has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than 24 fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Constitat is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to cccua.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out the Colts gift shop as well. And you can go to uacostatacolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacostatacolts.com. And go to cccua.edu today.
We're going to talk about the Ashdown Panthers and Lady Panthers now. And Ashdown 0-2 for the year. Lady Panthers 2-2.
Go Herd.
Go somewhere else right now.
Everybody heard.
but anyway, Ashdown 0-2 as they just begin their season. They lost to Jasper and Bergman. They got Taylor Friday night. Pantherettes, or Lady Panthers, beat Gurdon, lost to Arkansas High over the break. And they, again, have Taylor. Are they the Pantherettes or the Lady Panthers, Tony?
I believe they're the Pantherettes. I believe that's what's on the gym floor. You know, I don't know if they've moved away from that or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember.
You know, so many of them are the same. Like, we're the, you know, the Queen Lady Leopards. But then you've got, you know, Pantherettes, Scrapperettes, Lady Cats for Hope and Mena. So it's kind of hard to keep up with.
Yeah, it really
especially
is.
Especially for somebody as And, simple as I am.
Well, and I always, you know, once I start with the ladies, then I got the ladies, and you know, I you know, changing back and forth is really hard for me. I'm pretty simple too. But you got a chance to talk to Jim. Anything interesting with the Panthers there?
Well, Jim, he's going to start Friday night with some Panther radio. They haven't had a game on the radio yet. He's really looking forward to that. They're going to be at Taylor on Friday. Pantherettes 2-2 on the year. Beat Gurdon. Gurdon's coached by our former coach at DeQueen, mm-hmm. correct? I can't think of the young lady's name. I'm sorry. And then lost to Arkansas high over the break. So 2-2, pretty good start for the Pantherettes, who've struggled over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they really have. And Taylor's not going to be an easy game for them. We saw Taylor.
Yeah.
And they're going to be really good. So.
They are. As advertised.
Yeah, and look forward to hearing from Jim next week, see what they did against the Taylor teams.
And it's time for the best segment of the show, and that is the awards segment, where we get to give out a lot of different awards for players of the area, games of the week, and such. Let's get it started.
All right, let's do that. We're going to start out with the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, and that honor is going to
be Ellie Morphew. We talked about Ellie, or at least Greg and I have, and over 500 rebounds for her career, and working up that list, just something ought to be recognized.
Yeah,
I think she wins the Street Award as well. She's mean.
I'll tell you what, I would not want to make her mad.
No. I've done it, and it's not working. Moving on, the Domtar Panther Player of the Week is?
Journey Johnson from the Pantherettes.
Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week?
Haley Line from the Lady Lines.
The Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is going to be?
Katie Dotson from the Lady Gators.
Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week?
Going to be Angel Watson. She's a handful, and she's going to be our Scrapperette Player of the Week.
Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week.
Riley Simmons for the Outlaws.
Lady Outlaws.
That's right.
Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
Annabelle Peters for the Lady Cats.
All right, and the Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week.
Going to be Riley Manning for the Lady Eagles.
And then we move on to the area awards, and the Toe Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area this week is going to be?
Going to be Landry Ligon. Had a real good Thanksgiving break. Her shot's starting to go from the outside now.
Right, and the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area?
Going to be from the Eagles, Connor McCormick, for his effort last week.
All right, and looking at the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air, Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area for this week, that will be?
Probably not the last T-shirt this girl will win. It's going to be Addison Hill from the Lady Outlaws.
Congratulations to her. And we've got one more thing to do. We've got to talk about the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
Well, we looked over our list, and if you are just a fan of basketball and don't care who wins, you might want to travel this weekend and go watch Nashville and Bentonville.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. And you can schedule your appointment today or ask any questions that you might need. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment or ask any questions with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as well. Martin Veterinary Services has been a proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning, and we appreciate them so much for that, and not only that, what they do for the community, and that is offer high-quality veterinary services to everybody here, whether it's just simple stuff, spaying and neutering, or medications, checkups, and things like that, down to more serious things. You can trust Martin Veterinary Services to take care of you, and don't just take my word for it. There are a ton of good reviews on Google and across the board. You can check out their Facebook page as well, DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and hundreds of reviews, all 5 stars. And, you know, you always need to be able to trust the person that you're taking your pets to. And Martin Veterinary Services is the one. I have used them for multiple occasions, whether it's with my dogs or my cats. And they've been an absolute delight. Such a blessing to have them in this community offering these services. So we appreciate them so much. And you can go to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic today for all your veterinary needs. And I believe that wraps up all of the high school sports that we're talking about this week. But we got some national topics we want to hit on, and this conversation is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned.
Okay, lots of stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we Razorbacks finally get a football coach. Not sure if it was the one they wanted or not. You know, Tony, you and I talked about this, and you know, Silverfish. I mean,
Brian Silverfish was kind of the first guy on our radar when we started talking about it, and then he kind of winded back around.
Yeah, and what nobody was talking about him.
I know,
and then it's like, here he comes.
The thing is, I mean, the way it worked out, where Auburn got the guy that the Arkansas people were talking about. I mean. You have to, I mean, Razorback's my third favorite team, but you have to admit Auburn must be a little more attractive job than Arkansas is.
Well, paid a little more money.
Yeah.
I'm sure their
NIL is going to be better.
Probably higher.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about it is, I don't know for 100% sure that that guy was ever the one anyway.
Right. Well, you don't know how these guys are all – they're playing these schools.
That's right.
I was listening to Get Up this morning, and there's an agent named Sexton, I think is his name.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Sexton, he has all these coaches mm-hmm. that are in this – he's kind of the guy driving the price up, and he's just playing these schools against each other to drive the price up.
Yeah, he is. And you know, what's interesting to me, I mean – And I told you this when, you know, we hadn't heard anything about Silverfield for a while. Well, I just thought maybe, you know, because Penn State's not saying anything either.
Right.
I kind of thought he might be going to Penn State, but here we go. We got him. So we got him. What do you guys think about him?
I think it's a good hire, and that's what I wanted him to do from the start. Find a real good G5 coach and, you know, give him as much resources as you can to win. He's done a really good job at Memphis. They've been one of the better G5 programs since he's been there. They beat the Razorbacks this year.
Yep.
So I think under the circumstances and so many schools looking for coaches, this was a good hire.
I think it all depends on what staff he can bring in, you know, his coordinators, and I'm with Tony. I mean, you give him the resources, and that's what any coach is looking for, is a little NIL money to spend.
Well, if you give me enough NIL money, I can be the coach.
Give me enough NIL money, I can be the fullback.
Yeah, that's true. but I, you know, the thing about it is that's where the test is going to come. Is does this hire make a big enough splash to get the major donors to give enough money for us to compete the way Hunter Yurecek said we're going to compete for national championships?
Yeah.
Because that's what they said. He said when he brought this guy in, he wants to compete for him just like we do.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the things that's interesting about the hire is a lot of people said Hunter Yurecek would not get to make the hire, and he did.
Yeah.
Which tells me he's going to be around a while.
Yeah.
One thing I found interesting, and you got it on down the list here, but Lane Kiffin, the ironic thing to me was everybody kept saying – nobody will know what's going on until Kiffin makes his decision. And then none of those coaches even fell into play like they thought they would.
No.
You know, but everybody's still waiting. No,
there's somebody pulling the strings, and I believe it's Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, you know, you rewind, you go in the Wayback Machine with Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and you go back to when Lane Kiffin was between Arkansas and Ole Miss. You know, if Arkansas spends a little money, maybe they get Kiffin. But I think Kiffin has proved they wouldn't have kept him.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. They wouldn't have kept him. And you know, and I think as you move on, so let me ask you this question. Now that out of the teams that have made hires, who do you think got the best deal?
Who do I think's made the best hire so far?
Yeah.
I think Franklin at Virginia Tech's been the best hire so far.
Yeah.
That surprised me that he went to Tech. Must be something there that lured
him. Less competition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got Duke and Virginia playing for your conference championship. Yeah, there's less competition. Yeah, yeah.
By best hire, do you mean money-wise or just in general?
No, I'm just saying in general.
LSU. I mean, LSU with Kiffin, I think. I mean, that's a top three job in a nation.
And, yeah, look how quickly they every coach that's been there recently, with the exception of Kelly, has won a national championship, and they have moved on from them at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, the expectations are
two
just,
words, don't lose.
Yeah, and he could have probably stayed at Ole Miss forever.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I mean, and maybe he's probably a lot more ambitious guy than I am, but me, to get in that comfort zone and be at a place you like and be at a place where people have realistic expectations, that would mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
And he may be the most hated coach, too, leaving these schools like he does. You know, Tennessee despises him.
USC does as well.
USC and now Ole Miss will. I mean.
But, you know, one of the things, and I saw Nick Saban talk about this when they were talking about Kiffin before he made the decision. He said the difference is players. He said, at Ole Miss, every year you're going to have to go through the portal and NIL, you know, to get the players to play. At LSU, you can recruit players and then work, fill in with the portal.
Right.
And he said that's a tremendous difference, you know, because you're not going from one, you know, a whole new team every year.
Right.
Or basically every year.
I saw where they said he talked to Saban about the job, and I believe Pete Carroll, mm-hmm. who they said was good friends with his dad. Mm-hmm.
Does it surprise you, though, that – well, a couple of things. One, that Ole Miss said, you know, I think he wanted to stay and coach through the playoff, and they said no. And they've got a legitimate shot to be national champion, and that don't come around ever since.
That's hurt feelings talking, don't you think? I mean
you know, I would have give that some thought.
Yeah, me too.
But two – I think that also, if LSU wanted Kiffin now, wouldn't they have wanted him after the playoff was over?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think when you make that decision, you move on. I mean, I would move on too.
Right. He wanted to coach the playoff.
Oh, I know he did. I know he wants his bread buttered on both sides. I'm just telling you. When it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
Go on. Because you can't tell me, knowing Lane Kiffin, I mean, I don't know him, but, I mean, watching what I've seen from him, that he's not going to be thinking about LSU football from probably before he ever resigned.
Right.
So is he really going to be doing his best job for Ole Miss?
Do you think this was as agonizing for him as he let on, or do you think he had his mind made up a week ago before they beat Mississippi State?
Yes, I do think he probably already knew.
Yeah. I think he was just waiting around to see if Alabama won. Saturday, was it Saturday night they played?
Yeah.
But if Alabama loses, you know, he's in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, how does A&M get robbed of all of that?
I don't know.
They didn't even have a shot at it.
No. I know, that's crazy. And they only lost one game.
Yeah.
But you know, that game – could really hurt Alabama.
Yeah, if they lose.
If they lose, they've got a good shot of not being in the college football playoff, which is hard to believe.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and on the side of A&M, I think that's not a bad thing for them. They're going to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
And they're going to get that extra week without playing. I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's all interesting and all. I think these championship games are going to go away.
There's so much money involved in them, though.
Well, you're right. You're right.
It's just, you know, and that's what it seems to be all about. So
yeah, but if they add another six or eight teams to the playoffs.
But if the Big Ten and SEC just go do their own thing, this it won't matter anyway.
That's true. And that's happening. Yeah. It's just a function of time.
That's right.
It's just a function of time. So moving on to – let's talk a little bit about basketball. Hogs lost a close one to Duke, and you know, 9 points. I think they were in it, you know, and that's one of the differences. We talked about this earlier when they played Michigan State. That's one of the differences between this Hog team and a lot of Hog teams I've seen that we thought were good. You know, a lot of those teams, they'd get blown out other places by good teams. This team, you know, if you stay within 9 points of Duke, that Boozer kid is the real deal. I mean, you talk about can play.
And it doesn't help when they let him get away with things.
Well, you know, and what I don't understand is that, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, because I didn't read this in the paper. I just saw it on the source where everything's true, Facebook. that their coach was complaining about a play against the Razorback that he just intentionally went for Boozer, didn't go for the ball. Did you see that? Okay, well, maybe it was just some AI-generated junk. Who knows? You know, you never know.
This was after my Thanksgiving meal. I could have dozed off and missed it.
Yeah. Been in a food coma.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not – I mean, this is – I think Duke gets more calls than anybody in the nation.
Oh, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Put together.
They're kind of like the Notre Dame of college basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if something happens, you're not going to get the call. So you just got
to expect that. Is it concerning to either of you guys as Razorback fans is, you know, they're whatever and two, and they should have beat all the whatevers. They barely got by one at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're 0-2 against the teams, the good teams they played on the road. Do you think they're as good as we think they are, or do you think that remains to be seen?
Well, I think that, you know, Duke's probably one of the premier teams in the country.
Yeah.
So top five. I'd say Michigan State's probably a top 10 just based on who their coach is.
Right.
And so, you know, you playing them to within where they played them, I think they're playing good basketball. Now, when you get in the SEC, it's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be just like it's been all the time. When you go to Tennessee or you go to Alabama or you go to Florida, you're not going to get any calls.
Right.
And so you've got to be 10 points better than that team to beat them there. And so it's just going to depend on whatever you get. And it's the same way at Fayetteville, too.
And Calipari doesn't seem to be disappointed in what's going on. You know, the interview with him, he said they lost to a top five team. And he said Michigan State was better than everybody thought they were going to be. And he said, you know, they're kind of doing what he wants right now. So if he's on board, I guess I am.
Who was the team that gave him a good ball game at the Palace? Was it Southern?
No, it was Winthrop.
Winthrop, yeah.
I was thinking Winthrop.
Yeah, it was Winthrop.
But, you know, Winthrop's in the NCAA tournament every year. And they just – I mean, they shot 70% from the three, which, no excuse, you're right, they shouldn't have been – where they were,
right?
But that's one thing about young people and their minds. They don't think like we do.
No,
you know, they think, we're gonna beat Winthrop. Who's that?
Yeah,
we're gonna beat them.
Yeah, and Winthrop's in there. They're licking their chops.
That's right. Just sitting there. Hey, we can shoot, boys. They found out.
Yeah, we might be able to do nothing else, but if you let us shoot, we can shoot.
That's right. They got a big game this week. Coming up Wednesday night against Louisville at Fayetteville in the ACC-SEC Challenge. That game right there is going to tell you a lot.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Louisville beat Kentucky and took them out behind the woodshed, I think.
Right.
So they're a pretty good basketball team too. So we'll see what happens there. College football playoffs.
Wow, I'm telling you.
Who knows?
Well, I don't think there's been a year where there's about seven sure things going into these last weeks, and then there's about five that could just kind of go either way. Even, you know, things I'm reading saying Notre Dame's on the bubble depending on who else wins. I mean, how are you going to keep Miami out and put Notre Dame in when Miami beat Notre Dame and they have the same record?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that? Well, because you're Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And that. To me, that sucks.
What about Texas? Sark says his three-loss team is the best three-loss team in the nation.
They
should be in there.
No.
I mean, they may be the best three-loss team in the nation, but win another game or two.
Lost in the SEC championship would make Alabama a three-loss team, correct?
And they're out.
Yeah.
Probably. But, you know, I think that when you talk about Texas, it's not about their third loss to Florida, which was, what, they were 3-3.
Yeah, that was a bad loss.
That's a bad loss. They had two overtime wins against two really bad teams, Mississippi State and Kentucky. And I think that's what's going to hurt them.
Well, he's just hanging his hat on the Texas A&M.
Yeah, win. Well, that's not – you can't – their losses are what you got to look at more so than their wins. I'm not saying they didn't have – that was a good win. I'll give them that. But the loss against Florida overrides that win, in my opinion, especially when you look at those other two games.
I by no means think they should get in with three losses. Basically making fun of him.
And Georgia beat him like a drum.
So. Yeah. We talked about Virginia and Duke playing for the ACC championship. There's something out there that if Duke beats Virginia, the ACC may not have anybody in the college football playoff because there'd be two or three G5 teams ahead of them in their poll.
I thought they automatically got in. No.
No. If you've got two conference champions, even in the G5, which would be the Sun Belt and the American. Ahead of you, your conference champion, they go, not your conference champion.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be cool. I'd like that.
I would, too.
So I'm pulling for Duke then.
Yeah. Well, and the committee could screw that all up.
Oh,
and say,
yeah.
Oh, we're just going to move Duke up.
Yeah.
They're not in the poll now, but guess what? Now they're 16.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, a way that the North Texas Tulane winner and JMU could get in.
What about North Texas? Is their coach finishing out the season? Or
That I do not know.
I was wondering about that.
I bet he's not.
I bet he's not either.
Yeah.
Well,
Tulane's too.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. Yeah. He left.
Yeah. Yep, sure did.
So, and that's one of the problems with doing it when you do it. But, you know, I also understand, the portal, when's it open? January?
Yeah.
I think for like 10 days?
Yeah.
So, which is crazy.
Rick Pitino put something out yesterday that said, they've got to fix their mess. Can you imagine getting ready to start the NCAA tournament and then all these college basketball teams switching coaches?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And they asked Rex Ryan on Get Up today why that is, and he goes, because there's a bunch of idiots running the NCAA that couldn't do nothing else. That's what he said. There's a bunch of imbeciles running the NCAA that basically they couldn't run a 7-Eleven, but they're running the NCAA.
Yeah, so those are guys that got promoted from the AAA.
Wonder if they're hiring.
But, you know, that kind of scares me because I agree with Rick Ryan.
I tend to agree too. I mean, they've made a lot of decisions that just aren't good for the sport, and anybody can see it. Anybody.
Yeah. So NFL guys, what's going on now?
It's
everybody's losing that was supposed to win.
I know.
Everybody.
The Chicago Bears would be the number one seed in the NFC if the season ended today. And the New England Patriots would be the number one seed in the AFC if the season ended today.
I was just telling Spud the other day, do y'all remember when they got ready to draft a few years ago and on the podcast, I was criticizing the Bears for taking Caleb Williams with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a formal apology?
No, absolutely not. But I was wrong. I mean, he's a big factor in their record.
I'm just telling you, in the NFL right now, anybody can beat anybody. If you get in that 7-team tournament in both those conferences, you could win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It's just getting in.
Yeah, you just got to get in.
You know, and I don't know. Did you know who won last night?
Denver? Yeah, Denver won in overtime.
Okay. So, I mean
– because Washington went for two.
They went for two and didn't get it.
They tied it, went for two and didn't get it. Treylon Burks, former Razorback, I've seen in a few years.
The best three teams in the AFC are arguably the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Colts.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that before
Nobody.
The season started?
Nobody. I mean, two teams out of three that everybody thought was going to be battling for the championship, the Ravens and the Chiefs may not even make the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, high probability for the Chiefs not to make it.
Oh, yeah, that loss to Dallas. Thanksgiving really hurt
them. And I'm not sure after Ravens lost. Of course, everybody else in their division keeps losing too.
Right.
You know, if Steelers had won, they'd been up.
That division usually gets two or three teams in the playoffs. This year, they're only getting one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be the Ravens or the Steelers.
Yeah. And the Colts didn't even have a for sure quarterback coming into the season.
Yeah.
No.
You know, they're counting on the Richardson kid out of Florida who stays hurt. And
yeah.
I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, the Eagles are up and down now. Detroit up and down now.
Yeah.
The Detroit-Dallas game Thursday night is a huge game. Dallas almost in a pot where they got a win out or a win all but one. But Detroit's just about there now, too, that they've played so badly over the last month.
Well, and Buffalo's lost several games they shouldn't have lost.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I thought they were – I really had them picked to go.
We both thought it was the Bills and Packers.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't pick the Packers or the Bills.
Would you pick the Packers?
Yeah, Packers. Packers are still winning.
I'm going for the Cowboys.
I love them Cowboys.
8-3-1, is that the Packers record? I believe.
I don't know. Yeah, it probably is. I mean, their record's
But, you know, they can't even win their division, I don't think. I mean, well, they can, but they're going to have some help. The Bears are rolling.
That's right.
Yeah, and if you don't win your division the way the playoffs are structured now, you start out on the road and you pretty much stay on the road.
Yeah.
That number one seed has never meant more in the NFL than it means right now. You get that week off, you host all the way through, and I will tell you, Chicago and New England, if they hold serve and they keep those number one seeds, those are tough places to go into and win in January.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't mind that because I like cold weather. Playoffs. I loved for teams to have to go.
Are you going to suit up?
If I go to one, I'm going to have on a suit. A parka.
Oh. Well, I really like it being this way. I like to see these teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as we go through the rest of the NFL season. But and college football. I mean, it's great time right now for if you're a football fan.
Yes.
Because it's on all the time. You can watch games all the time.
Arkansas high school championship games start Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And Arkadelphia got beat.
Yeah.
Which it surprised me.
That surprised me as well.
Yeah.
I thought Benton would give Greenwood a better game than they did. But, man, Greenwood probably on their way to another they're going to be 6A state champions. And, of course, AAA would like to see them move down to 5A.
Oh, they're going to.
They got a pretty ridiculous good quarterback,
man.
Yeah, he reneged on going to UCF.
I'm decommitted, now he's going to Utah.
Is he? Okay. I didn't know where he said he was going. So, looking forward to, all those football games. They're always
fun. Brian was on the ropes Friday night.
Two overtimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And came back and won.
Yeah.
Mount Ida got beat. Another one.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of that. Joe Blazebush had the call.
Yeah.
He does a really good job.
He does.
So the 2A championship game is Cross County and EPC.
Yeah.
From the same conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get that. 4A gets that quite a bit, like Nashville and that conference, but we don't see it a whole lot in 2A.
Yeah.
Well, and then Lakeside.
Yeah.
We talked about the teams from our conference and which one of those three or four, if you put Fairview in there, could get to the state championship. And I didn't think it'd be Lakeside, did you?
No. No, I didn't. And they got to play Robinson, who came back against Morrilton. I thought they were going to lose that game when I looked at it. Start Morrilton got way up on them. But
I wouldn't count Lakeside out of anything, though. They are very well coached. There is no way they had the best athletes of the teams that the Leopards played this year, Greg. No way.
No.
And Parkview had more athletes. Hot Springs had more athletes. And you could make the argument that Fairview had more athletes. But it's Lakeside that's in the state championship.
Yeah, and they're playing a team that beat them once already. So that kind of, to me, that gives them an advantage.
I agree.
I think it gives them extra motivation. So
I totally agree.
Anything else y'all want to talk about before we go?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, well, it's time for us to get out of here then. We just want to thank our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. Thank all the people listening. And the most of all, we thank the kids. That's who we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.